I'm Ian. Welcome to Creator Coco. This podcast helps you become a better creator by helping you learn from what other creators have already figured out. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us a tweet at Creator Coco. That's creator and then C-O-C-O-A. In this episode, I talk to Thomas from the Cine Panda YouTube channel about Marvel movies and movie news, and I hope you learn something that helps you become a better creator. This episode was brought to you by Fictionista. Fictionista is an app for writing, where new sentences, storylines, and characters can be magically suggested to you as you write, using the power of artificial intelligence. With Fictionista, it's easier than ever to create new worlds and write that story you've always wanted to write. No more writer's block. You can download Fictionista from the App Store or the Play Store, or go to Fictionista.club. That's Fictionista.club.
I want to ask about you and your YouTube channel. So tell me the progress so far. I saw that you did a bit of rebranding. It's now called Cine Panda, and you're kind of trying to take your production up to another level. So tell me about that and how that's going so far.
Actually, I've not made any progress because I think the last video I did was in January. It has been that kind of year. I rebranded because I thought, I think my brand should reflect more of, because I want to be more focused on local content, and I wanted a brand name that reflected that. So I thought I'd rebrand from Movie Warden to Cine Panda. So that Cine Panda, I had to search for a really unique name that encompassed my love for cinema and also, you know, my love for cinema, basically. So I just play around with words, as most brand names do, and I ended up with Cine Panda. So I did some graphic design for the logo and stuff, but something came up, I think, after that. So I didn't really focus on building more on it and also doing more videos. But I believe in the near future, maybe I'll try and free up my time more, because I've been so occupied this year. It's been crazy. And I really miss doing movie reviews. It's been a very long time. I feel like this is procrastination 101. It's like, it's been a very long time, though I've been watching movies. There are some that I just had to see in cinema when they came out, because I am afraid of spoilers, as we all are. That's been my thing this year. And I hope perhaps next year things will look up.
Yeah, so I completely understand when you say that sometimes content creation can be difficult to balance with all the other stuff that you're doing. When you say that you're more focused on local content, do you want to talk a bit more about that? What does that mean?
Because there are a lot of Kenyan shows. Perhaps, you know, I just got a subscription for Showmax the other day, though I got it for the World Cup. But I browsed through most of the content they have. They have really good content as per, like, the trailers I see. But maybe I think talking about Kenyan content can be very refreshing, because, you know, we talk about a lot of international content, and because, you know, it's more popular and more people see it. But I think it's high time we support our local talents, our local producers, directors, screenwriters and whatnot, who are creating new stories. Though, of course, you know, with stories, there's nothing new that has not been made. But I think if you put it into the context of the local, our local culture, our, you know, what we do as Kenyans, and things that you can relate with, as opposed to things that you watch in an American setting, which you think you relate with, but you really don't. I don't know whether that makes sense. So, yeah, I think focusing more on Kenyan content, I think, is something that where we are heading to, actually, because there's a lot of good content that is coming out in movies. Particularly, the other day I was watching Wakanda Forever in cinemas, and one of the trailers that came up before the film was, I think, a Kenyan film, animation-ish. It seems like a video game, but at the same time, it's a movie. It's the VFX is not that good, but at least you can see what they were going for. And I think with time, of course, you know, our VFX culture or our VFX talents in Kenya, they're not as advanced as America's, of course, because, you know, they are the pioneers. But you can see the intent, the statement of intent that our creators are trying to achieve. And I think also creating a company that supports that and also is ready to capture this growing industry, this growing film industry in Kenya, and also appreciating what we come up with as Kenyan people, as Kenyan creators. I think that's important. And I think for me, in as much as I also capture the American content, which is popular, I think it is also paramount that I capture the local content, which is rising at a very good level.
And I love that. I think I also think it's important to highlight it. And I think the more people talk about it, because if it's difficult to find content about Kenyan, like maybe Kenyan news, this movie has come out, then it's also even more difficult for it to be visible, for more people to watch it, for that to develop kind of an interesting thing around it. And I actually like that idea. So I'm looking forward to whenever you have any videos, that would be interesting to see news on, you know, local Kenyan movies and things like that. I'm very interested.
Yeah, I'm also interested as well. I think it's going to kick off. Perhaps, you know, I think this year is ending, but I think next year, that is my first resolution. I should make some considerable steps in growing my company. I think I intend my company to be a video production company that encompasses a lot of things within it. Like your typical media company, but focusing on video production. So at the moment, I'm starting slow because I want to get like a professional camera, the microphone I have is spoiled. So I think I need to get a new one, then as well as a professional camera, then some professional production design that really reflects the brand, because you know, we are all visual beings and we like, you know, good backgrounds and whatnot. So yeah, I'm still working out the specifics on that. And I hope perhaps in early next year, I'll have something up and running. And I think also I'll be creating a team around my brand, Pole Pole, so that I think within the next 2 years, we should be a brand that is at least out there that people know and people can appreciate.
Awesome. I love that idea. It's ambitious. And you're also thinking about it systematically, like it's a business and you're thinking long term, like in a few years. So I wish you all the best. And I'm looking forward to it. I've heard that you've mentioned that, yeah. I've heard that you've mentioned that you recently watched Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I haven't watched it yet, but I've watched a lot of reviews and I've been exposed to a lot of the spoilers. So I want you to give me kind of your opinions in general. What did you think? You can also be specific. We can talk back and forth about specific aspects of it that you didn't like or that you liked. And even like Marvel movies in general, where they're trending towards. I've watched a few of them recently myself. So what did you think about Black Panther?
I'm kind of very cautious about treading on spoilers because I know you haven't seen it. But with Black Panther, I think it was always hard for the film to reach the heights that the original did because, of course, Chadwick Boseman died, I think, 2 years ago. So following up on that without the lead character was always going to be a challenge. And of course, we know in the comics, I think it's also captured in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling it. T'Challa's sister, Shuri, takes up the mantle of Black Panther. And I think that's what happens in this film, or at least that's what happens, not what I think. That's actually what happens. And the introduction of Talokan in, they've retconned Namor's origin. Namor is like one of the oldest characters in comics, specifically Marvel comics, and he's a mutant. He's more or less, I don't know whether he's a ripoff of Aquaman or Aquaman is a ripoff of him, but anyway, he's the king of an underwater kingdom. And in this film, they have conflict with Wakanda over vibranium. And I think one of the my biggest takeaways from the film is the character performances, especially from the actor who played Nemo, the submariner. His name is Tenoch Huerta. He's Mexican. I think he's appeared in some series and movies. I believe he's been in Narcos, I think, but nothing as big as Black Panther. But I think when you see this movie, you will see how much of a talent he is, and also his motivations in the film. Depending on who you're talking to, it might have bored some people because it's somewhat generic what he's trying to do, you know, with making the world burn, because he knows like human beings are, you know, we are hypocritical, and we always want what we want, despite, or rather, we always want what we want, irrespective of or who we hurt along the way. So he's aware of that, and he also wants to protect his people, because that's what is most important to him, his people. And of course, they've been living in secrecy, so. This movie exposing the existence, I think that takes center stage in the storytelling. And I think when you watch the movie, you'll either be interested, or rather you'll either be intrigued by what Ryan Coogler and his team did with all things considered with Chadwick Boseman's death, or you might be underwhelmed because perhaps you had big expectations for the film that really didn't pan out as much as you should, as much as you thought it would. So, yeah, this film has been very divisive, by the way, online. But for me, I liked it 100% because it when you think of the music, when you think of the character performances, everything just clicked for me. And I think if I was to grade this film, I think I'd give it a, because it's not a perfect film, it's not an A, but I think I'd give it a high B plus.
Out of 10, what's a B plus?
Out of 10, I'd say a B plus is perhaps 7.5, I think. Something
Oh,
seven or a
okay.
7 out of 10.
Some from the reviews I've watched, or just some of the comments I've seen, and some of the controversy I've seen online, a lot of the like the if you watch interviews with the actors and the actresses themselves, they try to talk a lot about representation. And then on the other hand, there are people who've watched a movie who come across with the opinion that Marvel has this something you can call an agenda, where they're trying to, it's called the MCU controversy. It started with things like She-Hulk and trying to basically replace a lot of male characters, a lot of female characters, and it's not being done as well as it probably could have. Not because people are not are necessarily against women, but it's just how it's being done. And I'm wondering whether you have any opinion of that when it comes to the implementation of that in Black Panther, because I'm aware that there's a lot of female characters. Even the new Black Panther is female as well. So, what's your opinion about this whole thing, and how was it implemented?
I think, as far as I'm concerned, that is pure agenda, because you know sometimes you have to look at it from the context. When you when we see a movie like, or rather when you remember a movie like Avengers Endgame, during that final battle when all the women were in one shot and they were heading towards the Black Order or Thanos' army, like that was forced. That really seemed forced. And if you ask any fan watch that film, he'll tell you that, or rather she'll tell you that that was a little bit forced, or rather a majority will tell you that was a little bit forced. In this film, I didn't really get that feeling, because of course the fact that they decided to go with killing off the main character in the film, of course they had to draw from the comics so as to make it fresh. Of course, Shuri becomes Black Panther. That's something that happens in the comics. And also, we have a new character in the film in Riri Williams, who plays Ironheart. She's also in the comics. So this agenda of, you know, that they're trying to uplift women in most of these Marvel projects, I don't think it applies to Black Panther. As far as She-Hulk is concerned, that was an atrocious series that I didn't like until the last episode, where they decided to bring in Daredevil. But even the last episode, I think my favorite episode in She-Hulk is the second last one. That was my favorite. The last one was just, I don't know what they were trying to do with the Kevin AI thing. That was like, I was so annoyed. I spent all this time following up on this. I think there was even an episode where they were just focusing on a wedding in She-Hulk, like a whole entire episode. And then the villains are atrocious as well. Like when you look at that Tatiana or something, that social media influencer or whatever, like in the comics, I think she's more formidable. She's more of a threat to She-Hulk. Anyway, my biggest problem with Marvel is not even the fact that, you know, they're trying to push the female agenda as per what many people are saying. My biggest problem is they're going for so many, they're going too much for comedy. I think this was very much prevalent in Thor, Love and Thunder. I think that film, in as much as I enjoyed it, but I've lost respect for Thor. I think my best Thor film was the first one. They've been going downhill since then. So anyway, going back to the female agenda thing, I don't think it applies to Black Panther, because everything felt so original and true to the comics, even though they changed Namor, the Submariner's origin. So everything that you hear online about, you know, the female thing and they're trying to push it, I think that's just an agenda. And you can choose to subscribe to that agenda, or you can choose not to subscribe. It depends on you and perhaps what your values are. But for me, speaking here, I'd say it wasn't forced. It was all natural and stayed true to the original content.
Yep. Like there's really nothing wrong with having strong female characters, as long as it's not forced, or as long as Marvel isn't acting like they're the very first ones to have strong female characters. Like in the past, we had tons of, like if you look at Aliens, if you look at even Lara Croft, if you look at, there's tons of female characters you can point to in the past who are also like female and they were strong. But as long as it's not forced and it's not destroying the story, or, you know, turning things and actually affecting the plot and reducing the quality of their work. Because even if you look at the amount of movies and shows that they've planned, that they've crammed into a short time space, they've really diluted the impact that some of these movies are having. So people end up skipping movies. You like, now it doesn't really matter nowadays if you don't watch a movie or two. You talked about Thor, Love and Thunder. That's something I've watched recently as well. And I completely agree with you. I also had the feedback about the too much humor. When I watched it, I wasn't as annoyed as, I went into it thinking I was going to be extremely annoyed. I agree with you that they have completely diluted Thor. Like, Thor is not a character you should take seriously. Like, it's going to be, they dumbed him down. They dumbed him down. They made him like, you know, they made they introduced the mighty Thor, the lady version of Hulk as well in that one. But yeah, Marvel, I'm not so sure that and this is something I'm not saying anything original, but everyone is saying that the franchise is not as strong as it used to be, and people are not actually looking forward to movies, the Marvel movies, the way they used to. But at the same time, if you look at it from an investment perspective, I feel like a lot of these movies are still making money and people are still going to watch them for the next few years to come. So the objective of the business, I think, is still going to be achieved either way until they milk this cow dry and they have to figure out something else.
Yeah, that's true. Because I think Phase 4 in general of the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been quite disappointing. I think what really grounded the previous phases of the MCU was the Thanos factor, because everyone was looking forward to, you know, whether the Avengers would take down Thanos, and of course with Infinity War killing off half of the universe, half of the life in the universe, people were looking forward to, you know, what was going to happen. And I think the box office gross of Avengers Endgame was a testament to the anticipation that people had for, you know, the conclusion of that story arc involving Thanos. Now, moving on from that, of course, I think we know the overarching villain in the coming phases of the MCU would be Kang the Conqueror. Not many people know about him, I included. I'm not that into comics per se. So, yeah, people are lamenting that, of course, and of course, you know, there's also the humor thing. There have been so many projects since Avengers Endgame that have really doubled down on a lot of humor. I think the more serious projects I can think of are Shang-Chi, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I think that's it. So, yes, humor is good. Humor is good in a film. But especially when you look at the context of Thor, I think humor should come, it should be in instances that are few and far between, as opposed to every time you see Thor on screen, like he just busts out something that's supposed to be humorous, but for me, it's just not, or he's too playful and makes certain scenes that are supposed to be serious, not serious. So it really takes you away from, you know, the thrill of watching this, you know, this Norse god or this Norse character on screen. And of course, you know, in the original, in the source material, Thor is a character that is idolized by the Scandinavians, and of course there's the whole Valhalla thing. So there is a lot of, you know, there are a lot of things that you can explore with the character of Thor, as opposed to, you know, all the comedy stuff that they did in Thor Love and Thunder. Then of course they also, when it comes to the villain character, I don't even think he was not compelling to me. And I was really disappointed with what they did with the character, especially when you consider who was playing the character, which is Christian Bale, an acclaimed actor. So the MCU going forward, I'm optimistic. I can't say, I don't want to be a prophet of doom, but I am optimistic on what they can pull off in the coming projects. But as at now, Phase 4 of the MCU is not that good, but at least now we're moving on to a new one. Wakanda Forever was the last movie in Phase 4. So we are beginning a new phase in the MCU with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, coming out, I think, in March or February next year. So yeah, I'm optimistic, but this woke culture thing where, you know, in many series, you'll find either they're promoting the Me Too agenda or the LGBTQ agenda or that kind of thing. I hope it doesn't really, it's not like I'm against such agendas, because of course, as human beings, you all have rights and whatnot, but when it's really forced in, when you look at a series like Charmed, the new one, I'm not talking about the old one, the new one, they were really forcing, okay, for me particularly, I don't know what other people feel about it. For me, I think it really forced the female agenda too much. And of course, there's also the fact that one of the characters is a lesbian. One of the sisters, the witch sisters, is a lesbian. So then also they put a butler in there, which I think that was just the last straw for me. So yeah, I hope, personally, I hope things will get better in future. But right now, I think the best movie they've made this year for the MCU is Wakanda Forever. And I look forward to seeing the continuation of that story arc in the coming Black Panther movies, especially when you consider what happens in the post-credit scene of Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which of course I won't spoil because it's a major plot point going forward.
Okay, you also mentioned Charmed there, and I used to watch Charmed, the original one, when I was a kid as well. And when you think about it, those are like women, and those women probably inspired other women as well. And so Marvel acting like, or movie producers nowadays acting like they're reinventing this idea of women being in movies and TV shows, they're not doing it correctly, because Charmed already existed and it was perfectly fine the way it was. The other aspect, which makes me a bit sad, is that there are already extremely good templates for serious superhero movies, which are unique, that for some reason the movie industry is not going with. For example, if you look at Joker, the Joaquin Phoenix movie, it had a budget of $55 million, but it made, can you guess how much Joker made on a budget of $55 million?
I think it was around 1 point something billion.
Exactly. They, from 55 million, they made 1 billion from a movie that was simple. It took itself very seriously. It was a character study. It didn't even have so many special effects, but it was still a superhero movie being told from a very unique angle. Instead of all this CGI, I don't know what, everything needs to have a formula. Everything needs to be like this. So I'm not sure why they, and also there's other examples. If you look at a movie like Logan, which I think was extremely amazing as a superhero movie being told in a unique way. And also if you look at a show like Watchmen, I don't know whether you've watched Watchmen.
I have not watched this show, but I'm aware of
Yeah, so that Watchmen show, it's extremely well done. It's not perfect, but it's, as a superhero film or a superhero show, it's one of the best modern implementations of that idea, because it's unique. It's not told in the same way as you'd expect in a Marvel movie, or it's not like some, you know, some lame some lame formula that's being repeated to us constantly and constantly. At the end of the show, at the end of the movie, you always expect a CGI battle, and then there's a villain who's forgettable. There's a love interest. So it's, why do you think that movies like Joker, Logan, and just more serious aspects of these superhero movies, what do you think is happening behind the scenes that's preventing these people from, you know, just going with that flow?
You know, I think it's a creative choice, and sometimes perhaps it's studio interference. Because I think even when you look at the MCU, every film, of course, has to have studio interference, because all these films have to tie up one way or another. But I think it's less so for Wakanda Forever because of the cultural impact that the first film had leading up to this. And also the storytelling in this film is very impactful and very compelling. So yeah, sometimes studio interference and also the creative aspect of the storytelling really affects the story. But I also want to know, speaking of Logan, what are your thoughts on the upcoming film? I think I don't know whether it will be Deadpool 3 because, of course, what's this? 20th, was it 20th Century Fox? Yeah, 20th. Which company merged with Marvel, or rather merged the Disney buy? Was it Fox? Was Deadpool on Fox?
I think.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the upcoming Deadpool movie? And I think it was announced that Hugh Jackman would be coming back as the character. When we all know that he died in Logan, so what do you think they're going to explore in that film? And do you think we'll have two Wolverines in the movie? I don't know. That is a fantasy for many people, because of course that movie will be the last, of course, for Hugh Jackman, I think. And I think they're also introducing a new Wolverine in the MCU. So what are your thoughts on that?
So if the movie like ends up coming out and it ends up being good, that's good for everyone, I guess. And I wish them success. But like bringing back a character who was supposed to be dead so that you can make more money or whatever, it takes away the impact that Logan had. Because when Logan died, like that was it. We were like, this, like it was already advertised that this was going to be Wolverine's last role as Wolverine. Sorry, what's his name? Hugh Jackman's last role as Wolverine. So it kind of takes away a bit of the impact. It's just like in Game of Thrones when they brought back Jon Snow, then his death ends up making less of an impact, especially when the character comes back and they're not any different or they're not changed in any way because of that experience. So I hope it ends up being a good movie. I guess I like Deadpool. I'm not sure. Right now, I'm like, there's so many movies that I'm just not sure what to think anymore. But what about you? What's your opinion?
Okay, myself included, I'm not the biggest fan of Deadpool. I think most of my exposure when it comes to Deadpool was of the first film. That's when I really got to know more about Deadpool. Then I read some comics afterwards, but I'm not the biggest fan of Deadpool. But I really enjoy the movies a lot because they are meant to be comedic, and it's not like in your face comedic. They're just naturally comedic, and they draw from the comics. And also breaking the fourth wall is superb. And I think they break the fourth wall in the best way, in comparison to what She-Hulk did, because what happened with She-Hulk was a bit unconventional as far as breaking the fourth wall is concerned. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to a good film with that. I hope they don't double down too much on the humor, as we discussed previously, though I know it's supposed to be humorous, but I hope there's a lot of action and a lot of serious stakes in play. And I don't know who's going to direct it, but yeah, I have high hopes for the film, and I hope it ties into the overall story as much as many fans would like it to.
Okay, there's also another new movie coming out soon, which has been in the works for quite some time, which is the new Avatar movie, Avatar 2, after I don't know how many years, 8 years or so. So I wanted to know, what do you think about Avatar in general? What did you think about the first one? And are you looking forward to this new Avatar movie?
Yeah, when it comes to Avatar, you know, first of all, I'm a big fan of James Cameron. I think his movies speak for themselves. My favorite James Cameron film is True Lies, then The First Terminator, then Aliens. So as far as the first Avatar is concerned, the story of that first film draws from many other films. Of course, you've had many fans call it Fanguli or Pocahontas in space, whatever. But that film at the core was a really revolutionary film as far as 3D is concerned, because for me, I was not privileged enough to see it in cinemas back then, because of course I was in Eldoret, and there we didn't have any cinemas, and I wasn't that into I wasn't that much of a movie goer back then. But even seeing it on TV, like the visual spectacle that it was, and whatnot, I think that really struck a chord with many people, and I think that's why it is the highest grossing film of all time, because of its rewatchability. You would go and see it, then the next time you'll invite your other friends to come and see it, because it's that much of a visual spectacle. So I expect the same with this. I don't think it will make as much money as the first one did, because since then, you know, back then it was a pioneer as far as 3D viewing is concerned. But since then, there are so many movies that have broken the mold as far as that is concerned. So the fact that it's releasing late might really affect its box office performance, but I have high hopes for the film, and I think the story will be more compelling as opposed to the first one based on the trailers. So James Cameron is a genius. I trust in him. I think the force is with him, and I anticipate a good film. I'm going to see it on opening weekend, hopefully, unless I go to Christmas. I go to the countryside for Christmas early, but I'm really looking forward to an enjoyable film. If they don't really perform well on the storytelling, I won't really mind, as long as the visual spectacle, they get it right. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the film, and I hope that it reaches the, or rather, I hope that it's just as successful as the first film was, both visually and somewhat critically as well.
One thing that I came across online was that the first Avatar movie, although it somehow became the highest grossing film at the time, is it still the highest grossing film? Probably, I think.
It's the highest grossing film because it has been re-released so many times over the years. So there's a time Avengers Endgame was the highest grossing film, but Avatar re-released in other markets like China, Asian markets, and that kept up that kept on bumping the box office numbers even higher, and until it overtook Avengers Endgame. So currently, it is the highest grossing film.
I see. And the other thing about it was that it didn't quite have, although it made that much money, it didn't quite have the cultural impact that you would have expected from something which was that popular at that time. Although we'll see how the rest of the movies build on top of that. But to me, the story of Avatar was not, the most, the most nuanced or the most complex story for me. I felt like it was, as you described it, like a kind of a, okay, although Pocahontas, the way it was done, the actual animation from Disney was very nice. Avatar itself was kind of like a white guy going into a native land, and then the natives are accepting him. And then there's also climate activism, and that's something that James Cameron cares a lot about. And that's actually why he's planned these movies in advance. He apart from Avatar 2, he's also working on 3 at the same time, and 4 probably, and 5 at the same time. And the other thing I came across about the Avatar movie that's coming out is that it's going to need to make $2 billion just to break even, which is probably making it one of the most ambitious movies that has been made in recent times. What do you think about that?
I don't think you really meant $2 billion to break even, because I think there's no film that has had a bigger production budget than, I don't know whether it was Lord of the Rings 3. I don't know that that's the movie with the highest production budget, but I don't think there's a movie that has had a production budget more than $400 million. Then when you factor in the marketing budget and whatnot, I don't think you know, when you look at the term breaking even in business terms, it means the amount of money invested in the business, you've made it up, and I think from then on you are making profits, right? I think that's what it means. So
Yes.
when he said $2 billion, perhaps he was referring to the whole series of films that are in the pipeline, not just this second film, The Way of Water. So but anyway, I
So,
think he's going to get
I know that when I said that, it's even shocking to you. Like you're actually defining to me what breaking even means. But let me share one tab here. So it's news that recently came out. I don't know whether you can see my screen.
No, not really. No.
And now?
Nope.
Oh, fine. So I'm sharing my screen right now. It's okay if you're not seeing it, but it's actually a news article that you can check out on Google. If you just search Avatar
I can now
break
see it.
even.
I can see the screen.
Oh, awesome. So check this out. It will need to make more than 2 billion at the box office just to break even, and then Avatar 2 reportedly needs 2 billion to make even to break even. Okay, I don't know whether you're right. Maybe they're including other numbers and things like that, but it'll have to be one of the highest grossing movies ever just to break even. So in that case, I thought it was pretty interesting news, and it's very ambitious of James Cameron to say something like that, even if you're an investor in Disney or something like that, and you're wondering, are we going to make this money back? Maybe it's also because he's planned them in advance or something. I don't know.
Okay, in as much as I really idolize James Cameron, because as a prospective filmmaker, he's my role model. I think the films that he's made over the years have been stunning and have been very ambitious. However, my biggest criticism of the director is sometimes when he's being interviewed, he'll just say things from the top of his head that are either not factual or not well thought out. Especially, I think some years ago he criticized the Aquaman film because of the visual effects. He didn't. I think he demeaned the visual effects in that film, and I think there are some words he used that really didn't strike a chord with many comic book fans. Anyway, in some circles he can be a very controversial character, James Cameron. But I think his films speak for themselves. And in the context of what he was saying, when it comes to breaking even, perhaps I don't know whether he meant the domestic numbers, because in the US alone, the first Avatar made, I think, around 800 million, 800 million, but I think it made even more in other markets like China, South America, and whatnot. So, yeah, James Cameron can say what he wants, but I think he's not an expert as far as the financial side of things are concerned. But if you consider that he might have meant the whole series of films that he's working on, then I think it makes sense that he'd say the film, or rather, maybe he meant the films, need $2 billion to break even.
Okay, awesome. So I guess that's the discussion. I'm sure there's many more movies that you watched and also that I watched that we could have spoken about. I just really appreciate that you made some time today to hang out and talk about movies. I thought this discussion was very interesting and I've learned a lot. So thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I also appreciate what you're doing, and hopefully, perhaps you can have these meetings physically as well. I think it would be more engaging.
Okay, so that's something I can consider then as well. So Any other comment or any interesting thing that you want to bring up before we wrap up?
As far as series are concerned, I'm a big crime drama person. I just love it's either teen dramas or crime dramas. So I've been really hooked on the FBI series, and I think there are three variations. They are all produced by a legendary producer called Dick Wolf. So there's FBI, FBI Most Wanted, and FBI International. They are all linked in some way, but individually they explore different task forces of the FBI solving crimes, or that are very interesting. It's not your typical crime drama where you have subplots involving the main characters, where they're in love, or they have complex, or rather they double down on their lives, or rather their love lives or their family lives, and really forget about the crimes and the crime aspects too much. But it really focuses on the crime itself, systematically, from when the crime was committed to when it's solved, and everything that they capture within the storytelling in the 45 minutes that the runtime is for each episode. You really get to appreciate the kind of things that they explore. So I really endorse this FBI series. This FBI, FBI Most Wanted, and FBI International.
There was a recent John Oliver video about some of those series by Dick Wolf, where they portray the police in a specific way, which might not necessarily be realistic, and then it leads to people assuming that if you go to a police officer, they're going to help you in the same way that people in those shows are going to be helped. And a lot of Americans specifically get a lot of their education about how police are supposed to behave from those shows incidentally. And I thought that was just a very interesting situation where the fictitious world of Dick Wolf has ended up influencing even how police see themselves. And police are also using shows like that as propaganda for themselves to basically look better in the eyes of the public. So in some situations, for some of those FBI shows, they partner up with police so that police can give them permission to film in certain locations, and the police always have to come across in a certain light or something like that. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know whether you've come across that information or what do you think about that in general?
That is completely new to me. For me, I'm just all about enjoying the show. Whatever cultural impact it has in the contemporary world, as far as the United States context is concerned, I'm not really bothered by it. It's something that they have to grapple with from where they are, because, of course, there's the real FBI, then there's the fictitious FBI. What are the differences between the two? Is there something that the real FBI can pick up from the fictitious FBI force in the film, or rather the FBI from the FBI series, or rather just law enforcement in general? That seems like it carries a lot of politics within it. However, I'm all about enjoying the show, and that show is incredible. Right now, I'm trying to catch up on the new for FBI. I think it's in the latest season, I think 6 episodes in. I'm yet to begin on the first one. So yeah, as I said, I really endorse this series, and anyone who likes crime dramas like NCIS or Blacklist, I think they will enjoy this.
Yep, I also used to really watch those things back then, and I think that like the format and how the everything is presented is usually very interesting. Okay, so that's our discussion. Thanks a lot again for making some time to hang out. We usually have this once a month like this, so and I've taken your feedback as well for about the physical meetups. Maybe in the future it's something we can organize. But again, I just really appreciate you, and thanks a lot.
Yeah, I think I echo the sentiments. I really appreciate what you're doing with the Voxy. And yeah, I think the future is bright ahead, you know, for us movie fans, because as far as, you know, having these discussions and also the kind of content you're going to be reviewing in the future, because it's only going to get better. So yeah, the future is bright, and I really look forward to, you know, more engagements.